this beautiful day again. We thank you for meeting our needs, and thank you for the health that we have. Thank you for those who are here today. Thank you for those who will be driving in a little later. I pray that you give them safety as they drive in. Just be with me as I present this material on Ezekiel. Help us to have a time of learning and discussion, for we ask all this in Jesus' name. Amen. One thing I forgot to mention last week, Nancy had sent a little blurb, United Methodist Church hires or ordains their first transgender deacon. Breaking news, huh? So crazy. If you listen to Dr. Woods on his, I'm not sure what it's called, Friday chat or Friday lesson, he wanted to make everyone aware of and wanted those of us who have a podium to speak from to address concerns that he had with five bills that are going to the California legislator for approval August 6th. You may ask, well, what's the importance of that? Very simple. Whatever happens in California eventually moves its way to the east. That's just the way it is. Or whatever happens in New York works its way to the middle. We're in the middle. So here are the five bills. Assembly Bill 2943 is a bill that outlaws helping anyone, I repeat, helping anyone with unwanted same-sex desires or gender confusion. In other words, if you or a pastor, a doctor, try to counsel them against that, they will arrest you for consumer fraud. That is one of the bills that is pending. And I'm going to tell you, all five of these are probably going to pass in California. So that's one. The second one is an Assembly Bill 2. It's 2119. It forces puberty-blocking drugs / sex change operations on foster kids. This bill says it guarantees foster kids with gender dysphoria have access to treatment that includes dangerous puberty-blocking drugs, cross-sex hormones, sex change operations, and counseling that affirms their gender confusion. The bill labels this gender affirmacare if this bill passes. The County Child Welfare Agency must provide, that's the key word, must provide this treatment to any minor, no matter what the age, if it is requested by the child or his or her caregiver. 2119. The third one is a Senate Bill 48, which provides for the inclusion of the lesbian, gay, bisexual, and transgender LGBT perspective in K-12 textbooks. So all K-12 and textbooks in California will have a positive view of those things I just mentioned there. They have to be in the textbook. If they're not in the textbook, the schools cannot purchase textbooks that are contrary to that. That's Senate Bill 48. Senate Bill 320, mandates. Here's a big word, mandates. You don't have a choice, mandates, that all California public universities get into the abortion business. Senate Bill 320 mandates all California universities, public, get into the abortion business. You can go online to California Family Council and read all these word for word about what's happening. Another Assembly Bill, 282, removes felony penalties for helping a terminally ill person to commit suicide. So here we go again. Dr. Kevorkian is back out of his grave and is pushing this here. So they remove that felony penalty. So if you help someone in California, there'll be no charges brought against you if this bill passes August 6th. Then the last one is 282, Assembly Bill. LGBT promoting sex education will now be forced on state charter schools. In the past in California, like it here is in Michigan, charter schools are exempt from certain state mandates, one of them being sex ed. So now California is going after the charter school. His question and his danger from Dr. Woods was that eventually out there it's going to creep into the home schools. The home schools. Like he said, he's getting more of a political view on this, a scripturally view of the Bible. This is things that it talks about what goes on toward the end time, so to speak. Not saying we're close or we're this. You know, we're living in those days where we're seeing things progress. Here's one of those things where man thinks he can do whatever man wants to do. He can change everything. He can do whatever he wants to do. So we have bills coming through a state that eventually, according to Dr. Woods, are going to work their way across America. It's just the way it works. Not a lot he could do. I guess he was born and raised in California. He says he finds this heartbreaking, but he says that's the way the country is beginning to go. More and more every week. The more you keep in touch and you know what's happening, the more you can see this going on and on. I know Kurt's better. Glad he's feeling better. He had called me last night saying, can you prepare something? Because he wasn't feeling good last night. So I did some research for some stuff that I'll use next week, but it's tied into some things that are happening. More evangelical, quote-unquote, leaders are falling into the trap of the Gospel Coalition, et cetera, et cetera. But I'm going to try to tie it into Ezekiel 13, where it talks about false prophets and false teachers. Kind of like what you see in Ezekiel is the same thing that's happening today. Unfortunately, church people who read the Old Testament or New Testament, they don't learn from history. It's a historical fact. There was false prophets, false teachers doing things back then they shouldn't be doing, no different than these guys are doing today. I will give you one caveat. The biggest person to add to the list, and I give you like 25 names, you can add John MacArthur to the list. He has bought into the social gospel, so to speak, of John MacArthur. I'm glad I have all that good news out of the way. Isn't that just fantastic? All that great, great news. Okay, turn to Ezekiel chapter 12. And we're going to try to move our way down through at least verse 25. So he's kind of giving us here of what's happening, Ezekiel is, through God, of why the Jews weren't listening to what Ezekiel and or Jeremiah had to say too. Then the word of the Lord came to me saying, this is verse 21 and verse 12, son of man, what is this proverb you people have concerning the land of Israel saying, the days are long and every vision fails? Sound familiar? Kind of like today. The days are long and every vision fails. Therefore say to them, thus says the Lord God, I will make this proverb cease so that they will no longer use it as a proverb in Israel, but tell them, the days draw near as well as the fulfillment of every vision. For there will no longer be any false vision or flattering divination within the house of Israel. For I, the Lord, will speak, and whatever word I speak will be performed. It will no longer be delayed, for in your days, O rebellious house, I will speak the word and perform it, declares the Lord God. Then we'll read on down through the end of the chapter. Furthermore, the word of the Lord came to me saying, son of man, behold, the house of Israel is saying, the vision that he sees is for many years from now, and he prophesies of a time far off. Therefore say to them, thus says the Lord God, none of my words will be delayed any longer. Whatever word I speak will be performed, declares the Lord God. So I've entitled this, Answering a False Proverb. So God is answering a false proverb. What is happening with this, with these Jewish people in Jerusalem and also the ones that are captive in Babylon. says in verse 22, days are prolonged and every this is the proverb, so to speak. So you can see what these false teachers are telling them. Look, you've been hearing this for 150 years. Nothing's happened. None of the visions they're talking about have come to pass. They've all failed. And I was trying to tell you last week, we were trying to tie in some of this stuff. Think about all the years that we've heard about the rapture and nothing's happened. And people lose faith because nothing's happened. In this case, they don't lose faith. They just keep on doing what they're doing because it's not going to happen. Let's carry it on a little further. We know in the Bible it tells us of a time that's coming that's going to be very horrible. And yet we have Bible teachers who say, oh no, that's not what that means. It doesn't mean that. God will never do that. We have the same kind of false teachers today. I'm not going to call them prophets. I'll just call them false teachers. Today that there were back then. And when we look at verses where it talks about they just come to have their ears tickled or to make you feel well, make you feel good. Same thing Ezekiel was hearing from people back then. What these false teachers were doing were the same thing. Look, people, they've been saying that for 150 years and nothing's happened to Judah. God will never do this. Besides, this is Jerusalem. God will never destroy Jerusalem. He'll never want anyone to come in here and destroy Jerusalem. There's that false sense of hope. We live in a society today that has the same thing. They have a false hope. All of us look toward the blessed hope of the rapture of the church. That's one of those things we get a reward for. You know, and eventually we give the reward right back, but you get a reward looking forward to the blessed hope, the rapture. And yet we have people teaching, you know what? People have been teaching that for centuries and it's never happened, so you know what? It's not going to happen. So you know what we got to do? We have to change or manipulate Scripture to adapt something a little different that's more relevant to the culture we live in. So that's what they begin to do. So you have Kingdom Now people who teach that you're living in the Kingdom Now. There's no rapture. This is the Kingdom. And you as Christian, you need to do things to make things better. And the sooner you can change society, or what these guys would call the social gospel, the mixing of Marxism and Christianity together, to bring about a better world so that Christ will come into that world then. See, and this problem is, nowhere in the Scripture do you find that kind of terminology. Nowhere. They're false teachers. And thank heavens there's finally people now that aren't afraid to call them for what they are. They're false teachers. If you just read the Scripture like we talked about last week, you can't come to the conclusion that you're in the Kingdom Now. You just can't. Somebody tell me where it's getting better. I just read to you what's going on in California. Yeah, they're wacky, but you know what? It's going to move itself across the country. You have a group of people, LGBT, that make up 1/10 of 1% of the population, yet look at the power they're trying to influence. You have a church that is embracing their lifestyle. This is where you bring in opposites together. See, that's what they're doing. They're bringing in opposites. I'll bring in the LGBT, and I have you sitting here. I'll put them on this side, you over here, and we're going to come to a compromise. And guess who's going to win? Tell me. That side. And if you don't like it over here, you can go out those back doors. That's what they're teaching. I don't know what happened at the Revoice conference, but I know when I looked at the seminars they were offering, there wasn't one thing there to help you to get out of that lifestyle. They all were there to encourage that lifestyle. But our evangelical leaders tell us, oh, just trust it. It will be okay. That's not what they want. So the days are prolonged. Every vision fails, just like people are saying today. Nothing is different. We're saying the same things today that people were saying way back when. This was, again, a proverb that was used in Ezekiel's day. It meant that things would continue on as before. Jesus says when he comes back, or even with the rapture, people are going to be like the days of Noah. What were the days of Noah like? To do whatever you want to do. Just life goes on. Don't worry about anything. It's kind of like what we're living in today. Just life goes on. If you don't like it, find some other place to go. If you don't like this church that's doing this, find another church. That's kind of what we're living in today. But you have so many powerful false teachers with names, name recognition, that people have followed for years, who are going to say, and you can take this to the bank, you know what? He must be right. Look at his name recognition. He must be right. In Ezekiel's time, they weren't listening to him. They weren't listening to Jeremiah. They were following the false teachers. Why? It was positive. These guys give you positive information. Why wouldn't you want to follow them? Change the earth. Make it better. Cut down on the amount of cattle you have because they're putting too much carbon monoxide into the air. Change the climate. Have the church become a community center. No longer a church, a community center. Where you give away your hard-earned dollars to people who don't want to work. People, that time is moving in that direction. You have to understand this. It's moving in that direction. Tim Keller is no longer the pastor of, I think it's called Redeemer City Church in New York City. He has been given buku money by a guy by the name of Mr. Buford, who died a couple years ago, buku money, big foundation money, to go out and start new, quote-unquote, community churches. You know how many he started to date so far? 500. Do you think they're teaching the gospel of the Bible? No. They're teaching exactly what this group wants to be taught. But things just continue as they are, right? They just go on and, you know, continue on as nothing's a big deal. The visions and prophecy of doom would never come to pass. That's what it means here when it says every vision fails. The visions and prophecies of doom would never come to pass. That's what they've been taught. So put yourself in their position. You're a Jewish person. You're in Jerusalem. You're hearing from Jeremiah on one hand, but yet you're hearing from other false teachers. Who do you believe? And how do you decide who you believe? Like I told you before, it's easy for us to sit here and to look back at it and say, well, how could they do that? Put yourself in their shoes. Sitting there, and you've got him teaching one thing and two or three over here teaching something totally different. Who would you believe? I would say it's not easy. You may say, well, but Jeremiah was saying he's speaking the word of the Lord. So are they. How do you know Jeremiah is speaking the word of the Lord? It's easy to look back now and read it because it's in the Bible. So that's what they're going through back at this time, even though they've already seen their northern sisters be taken because of the same issues they're going through, and yet they choose not to listen to the prophets of God. The days are prolonged was actually an act of God's mercy. He had given them a long time to repent. However, as such, they made it an argument against his word. This is from Dr. Feinberg. So it actually was an act of mercy. So for 150 years, there's this act of mercy. I'm waiting for you to change. I can use the same thing now. World, I'm waiting for you to accept me before the tribulation occurs. We know it's coming. But we have false teachers who teach us the opposite. Oh, no, there's no tribulation coming. We're in the kingdom. We just got to work harder to change the government, to change businesses, to redistribute everything for the common good. And then the whole world will be better. Because, see, man did that. It's amazing when you listen to these guys, not one word is mentioned of God. Everything is about them doing something. Them doing something. And we all know here where that ends up at. In verse 23, God promises to answer this proverb forever, proving it wrong. So in verse 23, he says, "Therefore say to them, thus says the Lord God, I will make this proverb cease so that they will no longer use it as a proverb in Israel." So he gets right to the point for Ezekiel to tell the exiles. Why are the exiles not siding with Ezekiel? Anybody want to take a guess? So you're a captive there. Why wouldn't you believe what Ezekiel was saying? You were going to listen to the false teachers. What are they telling them in exile? You're going to go back home sooner, back to your houses, back to your land. Even though God says you're going to be in captivity for how long? 70 years. Oh, no. No, no. God doesn't mean that. That's not going to happen. Not going to happen. You're going to go back real quick. That's kind of the picture here. You're going to go back real quick. Got to keep this positive. God is not going to do that. I know that because God told me that, but we're going to go back quicker than what God is saying. That's kind of the attitude of these. Just picture these false teaching guys. They're good. They're really good. And we'll get into a little bit about their characters in a little bit, more in chapter 13. In other words, God is telling them things would not continue as before. Things would not continue as before. Yeah, it may have been a long, prolonged time, but guess what? It's coming. It's coming. The visions of judgment would not fail, and they would come to pass. They would not fail, and they would come to pass. In verse 24 through 25, the sad and terrible things prophesied by Ezekiel and Jeremiah, as well as many others, would come to pass. Verse 24 says, "For there will no longer be any false vision or flattering divination within the house of Israel. For I, the Lord, will speak, and whatever word I speak will be performed. It will no longer be delayed, for in your days," meaning that generation, "for in your days, O rebellious house, I will speak the word to perform it, declares the Lord God." Divination, you may have to mark this down, suggests that the false prophet used mechanical means of attaining their oracles by lots or by throwing arrows, just to show the people how intelligent they were. So by throwing arrows, one of the commentators said they would throw them into the air, and how they fell would be how they would prophesy. You're a person here. How would you question that? Do you know how the arrows fall? No. If these guys are false teachers and they're listening to them, okay, it fell that way, so that's the way it is. That's the way it is. You have to remember that Ezekiel began to prophesy in the fifth year of his captivity. That was back in chapter 1, verses 1 through 2. The fifth year of his captivity. But he didn't receive word until the destruction of Jerusalem, until his 12th year. Jeremiah 33, or Ezekiel 33, 21. So there's 7 years that he's talking, and 7 years are all going, yeah, right. Sure, that's going to happen. Yep. Yep, you're right. It's going to be destroyed. Nothing's happened. However, God promised, whatever word I speak will be performed. Again, how many we've read so far, 12, where these people have not gotten it yet. We're 12 chapters in, and he's still teaching the same thing over and over and over again. That's how strong the false teachers were. Much like today, we can get up here and speak and say a lot of positive things and try to encourage them to change or whatever is necessary to change their mindset. And from what Brandon House has said, he's talked to a few of them and they've told him, no, you're way off base. You don't understand the scriptures. But he's not just including Brandon House. It's anyone associated with Brandon House who has the same view. So that would be Dr. Andy Woods, Thomas Ice, Ed Heinzen. The list would go on and on and on. You're off base. You don't know scripture. You guys don't get it. Ha, that's why we didn't invite you to the Council of 50. Because you don't get it. If you'd have got it, we'd invited you there. Kind of a secret to little buddy-buddy system thing. All the major players involved. All the major players. We'll find out about the Reformed Theological Seminary. That's supposed to be the hotbed of conservatism, is the hotbed of the Gospel Coalition. So with their leader and what he promotes and what he does. We'll get into that a little bit next week. So God promised whatever word I speak will be performed. And then the last two chapters, it talks about no more postponement. Ezekiel 26 through 28. Furthermore, the word of the Lord came to Son of man, behold, the house of Israel is saying, the vision that he sees is for many years from now, and he prophesies of times far off. Therefore say to them, thus says the Lord God, none of my words will be delayed any longer. Whatever word I speak will be performed, declares the Lord God. So here we go. We have teachers promoting, well, it may happen, but it's going to be hundreds of years from now. So you're okay. You don't have to worry about anything. Or it could be 1,000 years from now. Now, we talked about this last week. Kurt mentioned it. It doesn't make a difference if the rapture's next week or 1,000 years from now. It's still the blessed hope. We don't know when it is. We would hope it'd be sometime this week. That'd be nice. But you don't give that up. You don't go to the other extreme where you have this hope and go over here and start teaching, oh, we're going to start teaching the kingdom now. There's not really a rapture. No, there's not that. We do the kingdom now, and then once everything gets really, really better, then Jesus will come back. It's interesting. Jesus in the New Testament says, this world is not my own. How do they get to this kingdom now thing? This world is not my own. In fact, who offered Jesus all the kingdoms of the world? Satan did. Satan couldn't offer them if they weren't his. Either that's literal there or it's not. This is not Jesus' world. This is Satan's world. Satan tried to entice him with the same thing. Oh, I'll give you all the kingdoms. Just follow me. Just follow me. Kind of like these guys today. Oh, we'll get Jesus here, but just follow us. We'll get you there. I don't know their hearts. I don't know if they're saved or not. That's not my choice to make. But I will tell you this. That kind of teaching is heretical. It's right from the pit of hell, and they don't realize that I believe that Satan's using them to bring in the one world government / church, whatever you want to call it. He's using them. And they don't even, either they see it or they don't see it. Because everything I read about understanding the one world government is exactly what they're promoting. Exactly to the T. So are we in that progression? You bet we are. That's moving very slowly, but it's moving in that direction. They're gaining more and more support, not just support from within, from support from around the world. Support from the government, because the government wants an outlet to give away your money. What better place to have a church do it? Not yet. Some do. There's two denominations right now that get a lot of money from the government. The Catholic Church and the Lutheran Church. A lot of money. That supposedly goes out to help the poor, the needy, et cetera, et cetera. Everyone, you know, just follow the money trail. Everyone wants to have the money. Oh, my church is kind of losing people now, so you know what? This isn't too bad to buy into that. I could buy into that philosophy. It'll be okay. It's helping people, right? Didn't Jesus help the poor? So it's okay. We can do that. I'll make my church one of those community outreach centers. That's fine. Help the poor. Oh, but you know what? It's tough because it says if I do that, though, I can't hand out tracts. I can't preach the gospel. I can't do this. I can't do that. I can't do that. But that's okay. See, that's the kind of world we live in today. We have no leaders who have any backbone, who will stand up. We have a few who stand up to these guys and aren't afraid to call them out, but they're few and far between. Okay, few and far between. Any questions on Ezekiel? We made it down through 28. They're still not paying attention. Next chapter, he gets into hammering the false teachers. I kind of look forward to that one because he does hammer them pretty good. It's too bad we don't do that today, but not my call on it. Any questions over today's? Yes, our input. That's great because next week in 13, it says they listen to their heart, which I would be the same thing. The false teachers listen to their heart, not God's word. You know, like we said last week with the millennials. The millennials are saying, you know what? I don't want the Jesus of the Bible. I want the social Jesus. I want the one who helped the poor, who went in and quote unquote, turned over the tables for all the rich people. Because the rich people should give that money away. But see, that's how they see things. So they're tapping into this group of kids, what I call, I shouldn't call them kids because it's they're 20-some to in their 30s. But it is that bigger group of America segment that's saying, you know what? The biblical Jesus, I don't want to follow him. I'll follow this social Jesus. made a whole new gospel up, see? If that's not heretical, I don't know what is. And see, we play around with, well, you can't say that about them. You know, they're this, this, and this. You know what? No, they're not. They're not following God's word in the Bible. If they're teaching another gospel, then they're heretics. Period. That may be strong language. I'm not ashamed to say it. That's how I feel. You just got done telling me, don't do that, you know. But if you're changing the gospel to something totally contrary to God's word, I believe in the Bible, it calls you a heretic. Either they don't, and I don't know how they don't understand, and that's still the thing that goes in my mind. Have they become too smart, too much wisdom, or like Kurt says, experience, you know, we got to help these people because that's a good experience to have. But what I heard last night and from different people that are on our side of the camp, that Satan is using them to usher in this one world, whatever you want to call it. When, I don't know, it's moving in that direction. He's using them, like we called them before, useful idiots. The government is using them. Not just the government. And we have this going on across America, not just across the world. Most of the churches that Keller went out and started are not in America. They're across the world. But that's their agenda. It's not a church like, so don't, when you hear the word church anymore, I guess, in America, be careful, because not all churches are created equal. They're not all teaching truth. We know that for a fact. And those ones by Keller or the Gospel Coalition or the Okonomia one from Illinois, they're not teaching truth in those churches. They're teaching exactly what we've been talking about, or I've been talking about up here for the past year, trying to squeeze in Ezekiel and do some things that are happening in the world today. That's what they're teaching and promoting. And if you got unsaved people there, guess what? It's easy to do. They don't know any better. The church has never been called to be for unsaved people. Even the Greek word doesn't fit that definition. It's for believers. It's to exhort the believers, to teach the believers. Now, that doesn't mean we can't give to the needy and the poor. That's a whole different thing there if you want to do that. But not where you just change the church upside down, get rid of all the believers because you all know too much, and I pack it full of unbelievers because you don't know anything. So whatever I say, you're going to go, yeah, I can handle that. Free this, free that, free this, free this. Yeah, love it. Just watch what's going on in the Democratic Party right now with these Democratic quote-unquote socialists and what they're promoting. Just watch what's going to happen. All right, let's close from the word of prayer. Father, we just thank you for your word. We know, Lord, today that things continue to move in the direction that we may not like, but we know that as it moves in that direction, the rapture could happen at any moment too. That's the great positive news. Just help us to stay strong, to continue to discern and to know what's happening. Even though we may not think we can change anything, we can still stay together as one and serve you in whatever way you will use us. Be with us now as we go into a time of fellowship. Just pray that you be with Kurt and help him to feel better and get through the service that he has to do here shortly. Clear our minds and our thoughts now and to get prepared for his message. We ask all this in Jesus' name. Amen.